This is the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast. It is March the 26th, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us. The HAT podcast made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com for more and stop by your local branch. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller on the news today, including a drop in wheat farms across the U.S. and an attempt to produce more oak and hickory trees here in Indiana. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for more rain, maybe some thunderstorms today. And mixed ag markets yesterday, we have market analysis with John Zanker on the Hoosier Ag Today Tuesday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
A dramatic drop in wheat farms over the years and working to produce more oak and hickory trees in Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. USDA's Economic Research Service released their March Wheat Outlook report recently that shows the number of U.S. wheat farms has dropped substantially over the past 20 years, a decline of 40% since 2002. Ryan Hanrahan is the farm policy news editor for FarmDoc from the University of Illinois. He explains some of the numbers highlighted in that report.
The larger wheat farms, specifically 3,000 to 5,000 acre and larger categories, saw some increases over those 20 years, while a lot of those smaller, maybe more family type farms are just those 100 to 500 acre farms are really where those decreases were concentrated.
Hanrahan says the USDA report shows a big dent in U.S. wheat production from losing those farms.
The decline that they point back to about 2008-2009, when there was a 2.5 billion bushel production in those years. And since the 2017 census now, wheat production hasn't topped 2 billion bushels. And they really point to the decline in planted acreage there and harvested acreage, particularly that 2008-9 year again had 56 million acres, they say, and down to a low of 35.5 million acres harvested here in 2022-23.
Wheat has become more of a rotational crop that gets mixed in with corn and soybeans. Hanrahan explains why.
All three of the crops, wheat, corn, and soybeans, have increased in their value of production from 2017 to the 2022 Census of Ag. The increases for corn and soybeans are quite more significant than what farmers have seen for wheat.
The drop in production came in many of the different classes of wheat. Durham wheat saw the largest decline, losing 60% from the 2002 data to the 2022 data. Spring wheat, the report says, has fallen 43% since 2002. Many of us might take Indiana's forests and woodland properties for granted, but C.J. Miller reports now on how one organization is working with woodland owners to produce more oak and hickory trees throughout the state.
If you look up, you see a lot of mature oak trees, but if you look at the forest floor, there's not very many oak trees regenerating.
And that's Judy Brown, coordinator of a new program here in Indiana called Let the Sun Shine In.
The Let the Sun Shine In program is working with private landowners to encourage them to manage their forests in a manner that allows sunshine to reach the forest floor so oak trees can thrive. Oak trees and hickory trees need a lot of sunshine to grow, so foresters are encouraging landowners to manage their forests using practices that allow enough sunshine to reach the forest floor to allow oak trees to regenerate.
She says that a lack of new oak and hickory trees will throw Indiana's wildlife and ecosystem off balance.
Oak trees have at least 900 different types of insects and caterpillars that live among the leaves and the branches of the oak trees. Birds will come because it's a food source. When a songbird is raising a nest, it needs a lot of protein, a lot of caterpillars to feed their babies for them to grow.
Brown adds that many wildlife animals are dependent upon Indiana's oak trees for survival.
Oak trees also, as we know, produce acorns, which is a hard mass crop, which supports a whole different suite of wildlife like deer, foxes, squirrels. So the oak tree supports such a diversity of wildlife.
Find links to read more about the program at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Farm Credit Mid-America is a lender that has farmers' backs. With its patronage program, they give patronage-eligible customer owners a portion of their profits as cash. This year, Indiana patronage-eligible customer owners have gotten back more than $66 million. It's one more way Farm Credit Mid-America is showing up for farmers and strengthening rural communities. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. For more on patronage eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
The High Ground Podcast. Everything from energy and fuel.
It's Memorial Day weekend, going to be 87 to 89, maybe low 90s all weekend. So we thought we'd bring Scott Heine in. So we'll talk about home heat.
To agriculture.
Anytime we can help a farmer grow their business and meet their goals, that's a proud moment for me.
And, well, other things.
For some reason, like and subscribe. We don't know why, but that's important.
We want you to do it on your own, but we're going to tell you.
Listen now on all platforms.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a wet day here for you on your Tuesday. Strong frontal boundary is going to be sweeping through the eastern Corn Belt as it comes through. Rain and thunderstorms are on the docket today. I don't think there's a lot of thunderstorm activity. That seems to have gotten wrung out a little bit farther to our west and south. Missouri, western Illinois, that's what happened late afternoon and evening overnight last night in those areas. But here, rain and a few thunderstorms. Yes, we'll see that. I think we have two distinct waves, the early one, then a dry slot this afternoon into early evening before another round of moisture comes through evening and overnight. Combined, looking at a quarter to 1.25 inches with coverage 100% of the Hoosier State. Behind this, we are cooler for Wednesday and Thursday, but dry. I think clouds give way to sunshine tomorrow, Wednesday, and we see full sunshine on Thursday. That takes us to the Easter holiday weekend, which is going to be a little interesting. Good Friday, I don't think we see much happening. We see moderate temperatures in here as sunshine helps with that, but I don't think we see any moisture. Then for Easter Saturday, we see hit and miss scattered showers in Michigan and southern Indiana with a little bit of a fill-in in between. So I will say 40% coverage for Saturday. Then Easter Sunday, we can see central and southern Indiana again seeing a good round of moisture morning and into midday. So I think we just have to keep the umbrella handy for Easter. Thunderstorms could fire off overnight Easter night on into early Monday morning in the southern parts of Indiana. So there's a lot that could come together here. We've got to pay attention to that. All told, the Easter weekend, I'm going to say anywhere from a quarter to 3/4 inch in areas where we do see moisture, but only about 60% coverage. If thunderstorms fire off Sunday night, that could bump totals to well over an inch in central Indiana and southern Indiana. So we're watching that very, very closely. All of this is leading to a weather system that wants to kick out of the Great Plains as we move through the early part of next week. Low pressure comes across Kansas and Oklahoma. Right now, data suggests that this moisture stays south. All of Kansas get hit, all of Missouri, but mostly just the central southern Indiana and on south, I-70 southward. I'm not sure whether that's going to be sustainable. I think this system is going to try and drift farther north, but we'll have to see how it comes together. We do not see a major fall off after this system leaves by midweek next week, but we should see some clouds and sunshine in over the Great Lakes in general. Going forward, we are seeing above normal temperatures over a good chunk of the country as we finish out next week, Friday the 5th into Saturday the 6th. That includes us here. We're not looking at major records, but I think we're done with some of the coldest air that we've seen in here recently. It's not coming back. That's a look at your forecast update. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
What's in a name? Trust, for one thing. You trust the name of the seed you plant and the tractor you drive. Since 2006, Indiana farmers have been trusting the name Hoosier Ag Today to give them the timely, relevant, and credible information they need. And every day they trust this local radio station to keep them informed and entertained. So when someone asks you the name you trust, remember Hoosier Ag Today and this station.
Corn flat, wheat mostly higher, but the real story, a strong showing in soybean futures. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Farm Market Review. Settlements on the way. We begin, though, with market analysis, and I spoke with John Zanker for that late in trade. John with Risk Management Commodities. John, plenty of things impacting the markets, including war in Ukraine with Russia. Also, South American weather, the big reports coming up from USDA on Thursday as well. What specifically might have impacted markets the most on a mixed day of trade to open up the week Monday?
Well, we have a strong soy oil market, and I think that's due in part to a pretty strong crude oil market. And, you know, I think that's tied more directly right now to Ukraine lobbing some missiles and drone strikes on Russian energy infrastructure than it is the situation with Israel and Hamas. So Ukraine's gotten pretty good at messing up some of that infrastructure. About 7% so far have been impacted on the refinery side. So Russia's striking back and hit Kiev overnight, and they have done some damage to grain export infrastructure. So, you know, we've got a little bit of that going on. Wheat was hot early today, earlier, but is now back close to unchanged. Corn never did get any legs today, at least for any length of time. Soybeans, this again, the star of the day, and that's mostly due to soy oil.
We did have export inspections out on Monday morning within the range of expectations in all cases, corn, soybean, and wheat. So likely nothing there as far as a market drag or boost.
No, a decent corn number for this time of the year, but I think to get traders excited, to get the bulls fired up, we need numbers. We need that shipment number to be over 50, and we keep coming in the mid to upper 40s. So again, not too much new buying interest there. Soybeans actually pretty decent for this time of the year, but and probably was a little bit supportive, but not a number that's going to move the needle much, at least for over a day. Wheat pretty ho-hum, but we're used to that, and I don't think that's the reason wheat sold off, but nonetheless, certainly no support from there.
Thursday, noon Eastern time, we get the quarterly stocks and the planting intentions report from USDA. Always a big report, closely watched.
Yeah, one of the two or three biggest reports of the year, really. And over the years, some major moves coming out of this report. Not only do we have planted acres, but we have that stocks, and that stocks number, that's always kind of a difficult one to figure for the trade, especially corn. At least in soybeans, we know what the crush is relatively, and we know what exports are. So we can, you know, we can come close on that number. But corn's been a wild card more often than not here in the past few years. Acreage-wise, I think the trade's high with their estimate of 91.776 million. That's 776,000 higher than the Ag Forum. Would be a little bit unusual for the USDA to come in that much above the Ag Forum estimate from last month. Excuse me. We're about that 91 level as well. And I could see maybe corn acres falling by more than that. Maybe that won't show up until the June 30th report. But bean acres estimated at 86.53, and that's about where we are. I think if there's a surprise on Thursday, acreage will come in above that number. Nothing too outstanding or surprising in the wheat estimates.
Market analysis from John Zanker of Risk Management Commodities. The Lafayette office number is 866-837-9027. Settlements now for Monday trade. May corn loses a penny and a half, 437 and three quarters. July, 451 and a quarter, down three quarters. Dees down a half cent, 474 and three quarters. Strong in beans, May, 1209 and a quarter, up 16 and three quarters. July, 1221 and three quarters, up 16 and a quarter. Novi, 1198 and three quarters, gaining 11 and three quarters. Up just a quarter cent on the May wheat, 555. July, 570 and three quarters, up a penny and a quarter. Over in the meats, mixed, April live cattle, 186.20, down $1.30. April lean hogs, 85.15, up 57. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.